God even knows how to use a wicked employer, a wicked job, to move you to the next place.
Dr. Tony Evans says God is more than enough for whatever your situation happens to be.
I want you to know that your God and my God is a providing God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Many of us who think we know where our next meal is coming from are making a mistake, one that robs God of the credit He's due. Today, Dr. Evans explains why we're not as self-sufficient as we think. Let's join him as he continues our study of the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord doesn't tell His disciples to start off praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." He says, where you start is hallowing my name, submitting yourself to the authority of my kingdom, and yielding to my will. Now we can get to "give us this day our daily bread." See, a lot of us want to reverse the order of the prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread" comes after you put God in His proper place. You cannot have God on the perimeter and the periphery and still ask, "Give us this day our daily bread," because you've gotten things out of order. You've placed the blessing of provision ahead of the blessor, who is the provider. It's, "I'm going to make a big deal about your name, hallow your name, your character, your person. I'm going to yield myself to the rule of your kingdom, and I'm going to subject myself to the desire of your will, all because you're a father for whom I want a relationship. And out of that, give me the day, the daily bread I need." So what Jesus is telling His disciples then and now is to put your call for His provision underneath your exaltation of His person. Because whenever you reverse the order, you're putting God in the wrong place of your prayer. Now I'm going to repeat something that if you've been here for a while, you've heard me say a multiplicity of times. And that is that you only have one source. You do not have multiple sources in life. God is your only bona fide source. Everything else is a resource, and He can shift resources whenever He wants because He is the sole source. Your bank is not your source. Your money is not your source. Your job is not your source. You only have one source, and that source is God. Everything else, the bank, your money, the job, the people you know, they are merely a resource or a mechanism through which God uses. In John chapter 6, verses 33 to 35, Jesus was feeding people bread. They were hungry. They wanted to make Him king because they said, "This looks like an Operation Breadbasket. It looked like something that we're going to keep you giving us our social program. You're going to keep feeding us. In fact, Jesus, we want to make you king." Jesus says, "You're missing the point. You want to keep me here for the physical while you're missing the spiritual." He says, "I am the bread of life." He says, I'm feeding you so that you would come closer to me. I'm not just feeding you so you get food. When He prayed over some sardines and crackers and turned them into a Moby Dick sandwich on the beach, that was to show them, spiritually, you are to follow me. I'm not just feeding you so you can eat for another day. "Give us this day our daily bread" is to remind you that the one you're asking to give it is the source. Everything else is merely a resource. Having established the source, let's look at the substance. He calls it daily bread. Now, I don't know how it is today, whether it's even used anymore, but when I was growing up, we called money bread. We say, "Hook me up with some bread." And that was a synonym for money. We call it bread. Money is a medium of exchange. You don't eat money. You don't build houses out of money. It's merely a medium of exchange for provision. You use money for the things money can buy. So it's a way to be provided for. So when Jesus says bread, he's talking about provision. That God wants us to look at him as provider of the necessities of life. Food, clothes, shelter. Those are the fundamental provisions. Those are the needs. Anything above that is a want. Nothing wrong with getting wants, but you must have needs being met for wants to be enjoyed. God says, I am the provider of bread, and I am the one who will make sure that what is needed is provided if I'm prioritized in the right place. Now, to be fair, I must tell you a few times when God will not provide. One, God will stop providing when it's time to take you home. When it's time to take you home, he will make this earth's provision insufficient for you. So either you can't take it, you can't eat it, you can't buy the medicine, you can't, the medicine won't help you. He will keep provision away when he's transitioning you to your eternal provision as a child of God. So that's a time he may not or will not provide. A second time he will not provide, which I've already hinted to, is when he's trying to grow us spiritually. So in order to grow us spiritually, he'll let the brook dry up, he'll let the ravens stop, he'll let you lose the job, he'll let the money run low. He will allow that. A lot of couples in here fight over money when God is the one who caused it to be a problem, because he's trying to draw you into a deeper relationship with him instead of loving money more than him. And so he will grow us through the process of letting things go south for a period of time through a provisional trial. He talks about that in James 1, where there is this trial and the people who have money are losing the money. And he says, when you have the money and you're losing the money, I want you to praise me. That's what he says in James 1. I want you to praise me when things are going south. Why? Because when things are going south, it forces you to look up. When things are up, you may no longer feel the need to look up. Now, the final reason why God may delay provision is because of disobedience or carnality. That is, you're living in rebellion, so he stops providing. He stops meeting the need, or he allows the need that's being met to be destructive to you. Psalm 106, verse 15 puts it this way. Israel was fussing about not enough meat. Like our kids fuss when they don't want this vegetable or that vegetable, they were fussing at God, why can't we get meat? You see, God was sending them manna. Manna is cornflakes from above. These flakes would come down from heaven and they were to eat that, but they were saying, no, we want meat, we want more meat, not enough meat, fussing about the meat, complaining. So God says, okay, since you want to be that ungrateful, you are eating, you're not starving, I provided manna from above. I'm going to give you meat. I'm going to give you more meat. And the Bible says quail rained down from heaven. More quail than they could eat. Soon as they gathered it up, more quail fell. Then the quail became stale. And then it says God gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness to their souls. See, God will even overbless you. He will overbless you. So that the stuff that's coming in, see, because now that you can afford a house, it may no longer be a home. You may have a place you don't even want to go to anymore because it's a miserable place. You may be able to have a car, but now you have nowhere to take it because your health can't even get in it. So God will allow you to get provision independent of him, but you'll have a hole so big in your soul, you'll drive a Mack truck through it because you wanted it independently of God. So he'll either keep it or he'll let you have more of it than you can handle until you learn man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, there's somebody else who wants to provide for you. He says, give us this daily bread. So let me tell you, somebody else who wants to provide for you. The devil wants to cook for you. You didn't know that? The devil wants to cook for you. He's got a culinary cuisine program with your name on it. How do I know that? Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the devil told Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Jesus, you've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. And I have an Operation Bread Basket food program with your name on it. Now, if the devil will do that to the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, you know he's got a meal plan for you. He says, turn these stones into bread. Since you are the Son of God. So he's saying to you and me, since you are a child of God. I have a job for you. I have a way you can make money. I have a way you can get some bread. I have a way you can get this thing that is not in God's will, but I can work it out for you if you just hook up with me and my posse. I can work it out for you if you hang with me. If you just disregard God for a moment and just do it my way, I can work this thing out for you. There are a lot of people here who have been tempted to follow the devil in order to get the money. To follow the devil in order to be accepted by the folks at work. To follow the devil in order to get the opportunity, because he can guarantee you that if you do it his way, he's got the bread to offer you like he offered it to Jesus. But what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does he mean? He's saying, you don't only go for the bread, you go for the source that provided it. Just because it's money doesn't mean it's money that you should be handling. Just because it's a job doesn't mean it's the opportunity for you to take advantage of. Is the devil providing it or is God providing it? Because if the devil provides it, then he can lay claim on what happens to it.
Dr. Evans will have more on that when he returns in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know we're bundling all 8 full-length messages from Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer, on either CD or digital download, along with God is More Than Enough, his popular book about living your life based on the 23rd Psalm. Both of these life-changing resources are yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's messages coming to this station and others like it around the world. Visit TonyEvans.org right away to get the details and take advantage of this special offer before time runs out. The alternative is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so we depend completely on you to keep this important work going. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It never closes, so there's no need to wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information again after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
Love is kind, and kindness is niceness in function, not in philosophy.
Dr. Tony Evans' Kindness in the Culture campaign is full speed ahead. Here's how you can take part. Step 1, request your bundle of kindness cards. Step 2, agree to carry out an act of kindness for someone each week. Step 3, pray for them. Share the gospel, and then give them the card. And the last step? Enjoy that feeling of changing the atmosphere all around you. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind, change culture. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
Let's return to our message now. Here's Dr. Evans.
1 Timothy 4, 1-5, talks about the doctrine of demons. Says demons have teaching, and their teaching involves food, what you eat and what you don't eat. And the devil has a cuisine program. So what does God say in verse 5 of 1 Timothy 4? He says, sanctify your food with the word of God and prayer. Because the devil has a feeding program. Calls it a doctrine of demons. Right now, you don't know what to believe about food. For a while, they told me, don't drink coffee. Now they tell me, coffee with caffeine has beneficial healing powers. I don't know what to believe. They told me, don't eat fish on Friday. Now they said, you can eat fish on Friday. I don't know who to believe about what. So that's why you got to sanctify your food with the word of God and prayer. Let me tell you another reason why you got to sanctify your food. Because the devil wants to contaminate it. See, the devil has got pesticides on your food. You got processed food. And even if you go to the organic section, there's no guarantee that what they have under that sign is what you're picking up. So you better recognize God when you sit down to eat, because you could be sitting down eating carcinogenics that can do havoc with your body. So you better set that meal apart to God and let God know He's your source. And if anything is in these potatoes, if anything is in this vegetable, if anything is in this meat that's going to mess me up, then I want to set it apart to you so that you use it for my body. Because I want the substance to be from God and reject anything that the devil has got in here to hurt my body. Because you don't always know. Finally, let's look at the schedule. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Here's our problem. If you live in the West, we technically don't have to pray for daily food because of refrigeration. We already have tomorrow's food. We have the day after tomorrow's food. And if you have a freezer, you got next month's food. So thinking about daily food is not as natural for us in the West because it's so accessible. And even if we don't have today's food, we got today's grocery store, today's 7-Eleven, today's filling station. In other words, food is everywhere. So we're not as passionate about today's food because we have it planned out. When the Bible was written, that was not an option. Didn't have refrigeration like we have it today. You know how they ate? One day at a time. Now, the reason he says daily bread, follow this now, is because of the purpose of bread. The purpose of provision comes underneath God's kingdom. When God gave Adam and Eve food, it was because he gave them a physical body. That physical body needed nutrients in order to function. The food was entertainment because it was a delight, the Bible says. In other words, it was enjoyable. It was tasty. It was delectable. So there was an entertaining element in food. However, it was not first and foremost given to entertain us. Many of us eat for entertainment purposes only. That's why fast food owns us, because it's entertaining, all right? It is fun food. Desserts are fun food. The first reason why God gave to Adam and Eve food was to fuel them, to provide them the nourishment and the nutrients. Why did they need the nourishment and nutrients? To carry out the kingdom assignment that had been given to them. God gave them an assignment to fuel you to produce the results of the assignment. I'm going to give you food that your body needs to be fueled in order to fulfill the assignment I gave you. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make it entertaining. I'm going to make it juicy and enjoyable. We all love a good cook, but the goal is to fuel you for kingdom purposes. The daily bread was to give you enough today in order for you to be fueled over the next 24 hours to carry forth the hallowing of my name, the submitting to my kingdom, and the accomplishing of my will, not just so you could develop a disease after you eat and go to sleep. It was to fuel you to carry out my purposes. So if you eat good, enjoy good, but never are carrying living out God's purposes, you are fueled as a fool, because the fuel is not being used for the kingdom purpose for which it has been assigned. It has only been used for your personal fulfillment and enjoyment. You turn your daily bread into daily fuel to carry out God's kingdom purposes and his will for your life. God is very motivated to give you this day the daily food and the protection of that food, because he knows you're going to do his program with it. You're now fulfilling his will, his purpose in relationship to him. So the context of daily food is to recognize God as your source on a daily basis. You know what he did? He sent manna every day, 6 days a week. Cornflakes from above. And by the way, the word, Hebrew word manna means, what is it? It was cornflakes from above. And they would gather it up. It came 6 days, didn't come on the sixth day. Enough came for 2 days because they couldn't gather it on the Sabbath. And he would only do it one day at a time, forcing them to be grateful one day at a time. He would force gratitude. So I want you to remove your complaining that the job is not what you want, that the money is not what you want, but I want you to now move to gratitude. Lord, this may not be what I want, but I'm thankful I'm not starving. This may not be the car that I want. I thank you I'm not walking. This may not be the house I want. Thank you for a roof over my head. And I want you to know that your God and my God is a providing God. When Israel was leaving Egypt, you know how they got the money to run away from Egypt and move to the promised land? God said he went to Egypt, hit their enemies, and cited them to grab all of their jewelry, all of their fineries, all of their money, and give it to Israel to get them out of Egypt. God even knows how to use a wicked employer, a wicked job, to move you to the next place. Abraham knows God is a provider. Because when he thought he was going to lose his son, there was a ram caught in the thicket. That was the quietest ram in the history of rams, because he wouldn't budge until Abraham obeyed God. But when Abraham obeyed God, God says, now I know that you fear me, and now I'm going to make provision, Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to be the God who provides. When he led Israel in Exodus 15, he led them by the waters of Marah. They started to drink and they said, we can't drink this. This thing is bitter. It's not going to work. And the Bible said they grumbled. But then God told Moses, go get a stick. Go get a piece of wood. He took the piece of wood and put it in the waters of Marah. And the Bible says, and the bitterness left and the water became sweet. God is so good at provision, he can take inanimate objects and turn a situation around. If you let God be the provider, his sufficiency, tell him what you want, be grateful for what you have, and put it in the priority of his name and his kingdom, you will see how much of a provider God can be. God is more than enough for whatever your situation happens to be.
Dr. Tony Evans, with an encouraging look at God's provision for us when we put him first. Now, before we wrap up today, I want to remind you to stop by TonyEvans.org and get that special double offer I mentioned earlier, a copy of Dr. Evans' current series, The Lord's Prayer, and his powerful, life-changing book, God is More Than Enough, an in-depth look at how Psalm 23 can help you realize this simple truth: if the Lord is your shepherd, he will meet all your needs. Both of these resources are great tools for digging deeper into what we've been learning. We'd like you to have these as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Contact us today at TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Or give us a call on our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. God's forgiveness is a gift. But Dr. Evans says the grudges we hold toward others can prevent us from receiving it. On Monday, he'll take a look at the prayer that leads to pardon. Be sure to join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.